Well, amen. Thank you, Dr. Matthews and Dr. Wells, and good morning. I don't know about you, but with the last... And that's not the one to do, because none of you show up, and those of you who show up don't listen. So this is the first one, and I know I at least have a group, some of mine from, I'm interim pastor at First Baptist here in Jackson, and I see some of our students who attend there with us this morning. It's good to see you. I was looking forward to following the kids singing, and by the way, that's about as hard to do as trying to follow David Platt preaching, but I was getting ready for it. And one of the reasons is because psychologists and sociologists tell us that not only do we laugh more as children, but we sing more as children than we do adults. Now, there are a lot of factors in that, not the least of which is that when we are kids and we sing badly, adults just smile and think it's cute. But when you're an adult and you sing badly, people run for cover. That's why some of you are sitting alone this morning, if you've noticed. But one of the shows, and I may hate to admit this, but we like to watch Idol. If you're an American Idol, you call it Idol, don't you? But we watch American Idol around my house. And one of the few things we watch together, and last week, if you were watching, they were doing the sort of the introduction auditions, and there was a young man, and I'm serious about this. By the time he was introduced, and he did the interviews, and he talked about family and all this sort of thing, and how convinced he was that he was going to Hollywood, that he would be the next American Idol, I was convinced he was going to be the next American Idol. And then he started to sing. And it sounded like a cat in a washing machine. I mean, that's how bad it was. And he sounded like, I mean, and then when he got that pathetic look from Simon Cowell, you know, it's like he couldn't believe it. Like no one had ever told him that he couldn't sing. But I want you to know this morning that there is a song that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that we can all sing, whether we sing badly in terms of our voices or not. It's a song that rings in our hearts. It's one that we don't always sing verbally, and it doesn't always have music, but it is a song that God places in our hearts when we first give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. I hope this morning you have that song in your heart. In Psalm 137, our text for this morning that we're going to look at talks about a time when Israel, God's people, lost that song. In other words, they lost the capacity to sing the song that God had put into their hearts. And this morning, if I could be so bold and personal, I want to ask you, is there a chance this morning that maybe something has robbed you of the song that God put in your heart? That when you first met Christ and you had that song in your heart, has something robbed you of that song? Could it be that a bad relationship, a broken heart from that relationship, robbed you of that song? Could it be something even more serious? Maybe you lost a good friend to death, and it robbed you of that song. Or it could be that there's a sin that has defeated you over and over and over again in your life, and because of that deceit, defeat and bondage created by that sin, it's robbed you of that song. Well, this morning, I want us to look at what robbed Israel of their song. In Psalm 137, beginning with verse 1, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it." They're in Babylon, and they hang their harps in the trees because they have no song. "For there those who carried us away captive ask of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mercy, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. You know, this is one of those Psalms that if we don't understand the context, we can sort of read it and go right past it without really appreciating exactly what's going on in the life and heart of this Hebrew in Psalm 137. You see, it can be called sort of a tale of two cities, that of Jerusalem and Babylon. Jerusalem being the city of God, Jerusalem being the capital of God's people. I mean, if there's a place on the earth that's monotheistic, God-centered, God-dependent, it is Jerusalem. And Babylon is everything that Jerusalem is not. It's the headquarters of satanic idolatry, both past, present, and future. It's the place where the Tower of Babel came up. It's the place where man first conceived in his heart to build a world empire without God. If you believe in the last days, it is the place whether geographically or symbolically where the Antichrist will organize his attack against righteousness and the things of God. So there could be no more humiliating place for Israel to be carried away captive or exiled than Babylon. I mean, nowhere could have been worse, more humiliating than Babylon. But this is where they are taken away captive in exile because they've been defeated. And now this Jew is sitting by the rivers of Babylon, by the Tigris Euphrates. He's sitting there. And one of the Babylonians comes up and says, "Hey, sing us one of those songs of Zion, one of those songs you guys used to sing back in Jerusalem." And this Jew says, "I can't sing. I've hung my harp in the willows because I have no song to sing. I cannot sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. I have no song to sing." I ask you this morning, do you have a song to sing? Do you have a faith song in your heart this morning? I'm not going to take very long, but I believe that if we look at what happens here in Psalm 137, we can see at least three things, I believe, that robbed this Hebrew of his faith song. And as I look at these three things, I think they apply to my life, and maybe they apply to yours as things that can rob us of our faith song. The first one is this. If you'll notice with me in verse 5, it makes it pretty clear that they had lost their spiritual foundation. This Hebrew could not sing his faith song because he lost his spiritual foundation, which was Jerusalem. Look again at verse 5. He says, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let the tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy." You see, this young Hebrew is afraid that if he sings a song in Babylon, that he's somehow bringing disrespect to Jerusalem. He's saying, "I can't sing the Lord's song and not in the Lord's land. I can't sing the Lord's song without this spiritual foundation of Jerusalem. I just can't do it." We all need a spiritual foundation. And for the Israeli, for the Jew at this time, Jerusalem was their security. I mean, Jerusalem meant salvation to the Jew. To some extent, even today it does. Jerusalem is that holy city, that place where they believe they meet God. And so to be taken away from Jerusalem was not only humiliating, but it cost this Hebrew his faith song. What about your Jerusalem this morning? You see, I believe that my Jerusalem is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, that is my spiritual foundation. Foundation is something on which everything else is built. Everything else in my life is supposed to be built upon that. So my Jerusalem, that spiritual foundation, is the moment that I first gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Have you done that? You may think I'm being sort of maybe naive or even too bold to suggest that, but there's not a semester that goes by that we don't have a student that comes, and most of them that I've known that will come and admit that they've lived a great portion of their lives with everybody thinking they were Christians, but somehow from being here at Union around other believers, they get the courage to admit, I'm not a believer, and they come to know Christ for the first time. That's our Jerusalem. That's our salvation security. That's our spiritual foundation. And if you don't have that, then you don't have a faith song. If you don't have that spiritual foundation, that moment when you know when you first gave your life to Christ, then you're just borrowing from someone else. Maybe you come to go to church on Sunday or Wednesday evenings or Bible study on Thursday night, and you get together with Christians and you sing the songs and you pray the prayers and you listen to the Bible study and you get caught up in their faith song. Because they're excited, you're excited. But when you leave, you're missing something. You know it's not there. This Hebrew could not sing because he lost his spiritual foundation. He could not sing his faith song because he lost his spiritual foundation. Do you have a spiritual foundation? Do you know for sure there's a moment in your life when you found yourself under the cross of Jesus Christ begging him to take away your sins and to save you? I believe that's the second reason why this Hebrew could not sing his faith song. And it's rather obvious because I've already sort of mentioned it. But he could not sing his faith song because he was living in the enemy's camp. Look at verse 1. I sort of hit that when I first started this. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we were singing. No, yea, we wept, because we were in Babylon. We were in the enemy's camp. And then it says in verse 4, it says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Or we could simply say, he was suggesting, how can we sing our faith song while we're in the enemy's camp? I'm going to tell you from personal experience, it's hard to sing a faith song if you're living in the enemy's camp. Those of you who know me even a little bit know that one thing that I share in common with Dr. Dockery is our love not only for Alabama, but Alabama football. I used to be a Halifax High School football coach in Alabama. And when I was pastor at West Jackson Baptist Church here, during the entire time I was pastor, Tennessee beat Alabama every year. And I was asked to go to Knoxville, to Neyland Stadium, 2 times to watch those games. I made a mistake, and I went both times. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're an Alabama fan, that's not a place you want to be. It's no fun at all. And we might as well have lost, because if we had won, I could not have celebrated. I mean, they knew I was an Alabama fan, so when Alabama did something good, boy, they would just were not happy at all. I couldn't celebrate. When Tennessee did something good, man, they sort of gave me a hard time. So it's no place I really wanted to be while I was rooting for my team. And the point I'm making, it's real hard to celebrate when you're in the enemy's camp. And that's exactly what this Hebrew is saying right here. He's saying, how can I sing my faith song? How can I sing the Lord's song when I'm living in the enemy's camp? Now, can I really be personal now? How is it that we have the audacity to think that we can dine at the world's table all week long, that we can do the world's thing, the world's business, the world's way, and somehow think that we can come together on Sunday or on Wednesday or on Thursday Bible study and somehow think that we can sing in celebration of the Lord's song? It's hard to do because those two things just don't go together. I believe that we lose our faith song when we insist on living in the enemy's camp and doing things the enemy's way. I'll give you another example. I don't know about you. I love ice cream. I love strawberry ice cream. I especially like homemade strawberry ice cream. And if you like that as well, I want you to think about ice cream for just a moment. Just think about it. Looks good, doesn't it? Now I want you to think about someone bringing you a cup of hot brown gravy. You thought I was going to say chocolate or caramel, didn't you? No. And think about pouring that gravy on top of that ice cream. How does that look? That's not too appealing, is it? Why? Because those two appetites, they just don't mix very well. Well, guess what? Our spiritual appetite doesn't mix very well with the world's appetite. And we can't expect to sing our faith song or to live out our faith song when we're doing things the world's way and we're living our lives in the enemy's camp, the enemy's way. This young Hebrew could not sing the Lord's song because, or the faith song, because he was living in the enemy's camp. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're living in the enemy's camp and doing things the world's way. It's hard to enjoy and sing your faith song doing that. I'm going to share with you one last thing, then I'll be finished. I believe that this text tells us that this young Hebrew could not sing his faith song, not only because he didn't have the spiritual foundation of Jerusalem and because he was in the enemy's camp, but I believe he could not sing his faith song because he lost his joy. And he even mentions that he lost his joy. Look at verse 2. He says, "We hung our harps in the willows." I mean, he knows he's not going to sing because, man, he hangs up the harp. He just hangs it in the tree and said, "You know, I'm not even going to think about singing." And then he says, notice in verse 6, he says, "If I do not remember you," talking about Jerusalem, "let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy." He lost his joy, and when you lose your joy, you lose your song. You lose your faith song. I started out a moment ago, beginning of the message, asking you what has robbed you of your faith song. But I suspect that if something has robbed you of your faith song, it robbed you of your joy first. What has taken away your joy? What is it that's robbed you of your joy in such a way that your faith song doesn't really do much for you anymore? This young guy did not have his joy, and he could not sing his faith song. Some of you have heard me share my story about Chipper the parakeet. It's a great story because it's about joy. But Chipper the parakeet, this lady had a parakeet named Chipper, and she loved Chipper. And one day she had the vacuum shop back, and she was cleaning out Chipper's cage. And she had a telephone call, phone rang. She gets on the phone, cleaning out Chipper's cage, and she made a terrible mistake. And she heard the sound, and she realized she sucked old Chipper up in the vacuum cleaner. And she went hysterical. And she started tearing the vacuum apart. She reaches in. She pulls Chipper out. And there he's just covered in dust and dirt. And man, he's just not moving very much. And she thinks she's killed Chipper. So she takes in the kitchen sink, turns on the cold water wide open, and power washes Chipper. And he's clean, but he's still not moving very much. And she thinks, "Oh no, I've drowned Chipper. Or he's dying of hypothermia." So she goes and gets the hair dryer and turns it on wide open hot, and she blow dries him. The good news is that Chipper survived. The bad news is he doesn't sing much anymore. He doesn't sing much anymore. Now I share that this morning because I know how some of you are feeling this morning. I mean, you've been to class, what, once or twice, and it's time for midterms already? I mean, you feel like what Chipper's gone through. You mean, and some of you have been in that whirlwind since you came to Union. And by the way, we have some here. This is your first semester, and we're glad to have you at Union. We welcome you. And I know Shelley and Luke, I know a couple others that are here. We're glad to have you. But I know you're feeling just sort of thrown around in a whirlwind. Your joy can leave because of circumstances. It doesn't always have to be one single event. It could be a series of circumstances just robs you of your joy. And when you lose your joy, you lose your faith song. That's why David, That's why David prayed in Psalm 51 after he had sinned against God. Do you remember when he prayed that prayer of repentance? David said, he almost pleaded, begged God, God, restore to me, I beg you, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Because David knew that if he didn't get his joy back, nothing else really mattered. And his joy was attached to his salvation. Have you lost your faith song because you've lost your joy? I pray this morning that you'll ask God to give you your joy back. And as you get your joy back, you'll get your faith song back as well. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege and pleasure of sharing your word. And Lord, I thank you for these students and our faculty and our staff. And Lord, I know because I see it in their eyes, Lord, I know that with classes being canceled some of this week and other things last week, Lord, I know that they're feeling overwhelmed and trying to catch up with requirements and expectations. And Father, I pray that right now, that Lord, the most important thing in their heart would be your joy. Your joy. Lord, restore to us the joy of the salvation you've given to us, thy salvation. And return to us our faith song so the world will know that you are Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.